Strategies for Biodiversity Conservation. At the core of long-term strategies, society must get the hippo and climate change elephant out of the room. Large-scale actions will be needed to reduce the human impact on natural habitats, to limit the introduction of invasive species through much better regulation of pathways by which those species are transported internationally, for example, in the bilges of transoceanic ships and in the illegal trade in exotic species, to reduce the growth of the human population, to reduce pollution, to control over-harvesting of the commons, ocean fisheries, lakes, bushmeat, tropical forests, and more, and, of course, to mitigate climate change. The agenda of biodiversity conservation in the long term is the agenda of environmental sustainability itself. Yet within these very broad and vital categories, there are specific actions we can take to limit damage today and stop irreversible losses while global efforts on the big challenges are given time to scale up. I will focus on 6 specific interventions that can make a tremendous difference in a short period of time, indeed, in time to point the world in another direction by the biodiversity target date of 2010. Protected habitats. One standard and successful approach to high-priority conservation is the establishment of protected habitats by regulation. These include national parks and refuges, protected marine areas, conversion of open access sites to community management, and even private ecotourism sites, which under certain circumstances can harness the profit motive in biodiversity conservation. There is a long experience with terrestrial parks and refuges. The recent move to marine protected areas is new and exciting. The idea is to define an area of ocean within which the rights to fishing and commercial exploitation are severely curtailed. President Bush recently adopted such a protected area in Hawaii. Avoided deforestation. A powerful new approach will be international funding to give rainforest countries the incentive to avoid further deforestation. Rather than paying these countries to cut their forests when we buy their lumber, the world would pay them to conserve their biodiversity and sequester the carbon in the forests. The Coalition for Rainforest Nations has proposed that countries be given carbon credits for avoiding deforestation. Under the Kyoto Protocol, rainforest countries can get carbon credits for reforestation and for afforestation, creating forests where they did not previously exist, but not for avoiding deforestation. The proposed change would pay countries if they agree to stop the current trend of deforestation and commit the country to a given assured level of forest cover. Improved agricultural productivity. High productivity farming is often seen as the foe of biodiversity conservation, and indeed, with bad farming practices, farming can be ecologically destructive. At a more basic level, however, high productivity farming is vital for biodiversity conservation, since the higher the yield per hectare of arable land, the fewer hectares of arable land are needed to provision the population with foodstuffs. The Green Revolution in Asia saved vast areas of land by tripling the crop yields per hectare. Still, the Green Revolution also introduced several practices that were damaging to the environment, including overuse of fertilizers, often supported by generous subsidies, overuse of groundwater, often backed by free or heavily subsidized water, underutilization of improved irrigation technologies, such as drip irrigation, and massive use of persistent pesticides and herbicides. The core concept of a green revolution remains vital and indeed will be at the core of Africa's escape from extreme poverty. Yet the 21st century green revolution needs to be environmentally friendly and ecologically savvy from the start. This would mean adopting the lessons of the new agroecology, which combines high productivity agriculture with sustainable land management. Some of the techniques of agroecology include drip irrigation to conserve water use, integrated pest management to reduce or eliminate the need for chemical pesticides, low tillage agriculture to reduce the churning of the soils and the resultant soil erosion, and water-efficient crop and seed varieties. The benefits of such practices in higher yields and lower environmental losses can be enormous. Also, smart subsidies for fertilizer that encourage fertilizer use by the poor without subsidizing overuse by the rich should be combined with improved fertilizer practices described next.